Thank you very much. It's really good to be here. I feel safe with this mic. This morning in church, I have one of those mics. And at the end of the service, this little kid came up and he's like, I really like your mic. It's really cool. And I was like, I know. It makes me feel like Madonna. And he looked at me like, who? And I went, Kylie. He's like, no. I'm like, how old am I? Oh, my gosh. So I don't know who you're supposed to reference these days with one of those mics, but apparently it's not Madonna or Kylie. My church this morning, seemingly like yours, was utterly freezing. It's normally quite a warm church, but this morning by the end of the service, I could no longer feel my fingers or my toes. And I haven't stopped sneezing all afternoon, so if I just get taken over by a fit of sneezes, I apologise in advance. Anyway, it's fantastic to be here with you. Recognise some of you don't recognise others, but it's really great to be here. Loving this whole fairy light thing you've got going on. That's brilliant. How's everyone doing? You all right? Are you back at work or school or whatever passes for normality in your life? Kind of routine, yeah? We've had to kind of figure out what day it is, haven't we? I don't know if you've got this going on. We've had to figure out what day of the week it is. We've had to start eating proper breakfast food instead of celebrations for breakfast with a bit of bacon on the side. Is that just me? No, please tell me it's not just me. We've had to start putting clothes on before lunchtime again. It's weird, isn't it? That transition from that whole Christmas New Year thing back into normal life is weird. It's a bit of a jolt. It's a bit of a shock to the system, isn't it? And then there's the whole New Year thing is going on. There's talk everywhere of resolutions and diets and joining gyms and new starts. Like, what, you know, what's that all about? Anybody made any resolutions? Oh, no. No love in the room at all for New Year's resolutions. I was going to say, is that because you made them but you're no longer keeping them now? It's the 7th of January. Is that like on the 1st I was all over it, but it's the 7th now and it's just the time has passed. So I was thinking about this evening and I was thinking about what I might talk about. And I was thinking a little bit about new starts and new life. And I was thinking about how to get closer to Jesus in 2018. And I was thinking that's got to be a pretty good thing to think about, hasn't it? This first Sunday of this new year, how to get closer to Jesus in 2018. And I was thinking for myself, I was thinking about what are the habits, what are the practices, what's the stuff in my life that I just want to leave behind? And what's the stuff that I want to step into? What's the new stuff that I want to step into in 2018? And as I was thinking about all of that, the kind of soundtrack, if you like, to all of those thoughts in my head was a passage from Colossians. And I'm going to read it now from Colossians 3, but I'm going to read it from the Message. It's on the screen, but it's kind of small. You might not be able to see it, but it's quite long as well, so bear with me. But I'm going to read it out. And because it's from the Message, it might not sound like totally how you know it in your head, but I think it can therefore kind of sound a bit fresh to us. It can stand out a bit to us, can't it? So this is what it says. If you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom-made by the Creator with his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of your house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I feel like I could just leave now, like that's it, just do that. It's brilliant. And it's just so fresh, isn't it? Like you might know that passage really well, but you hear it in the message and you're like, whoa, I've never seen it like that before. So how's this for a right between the eyes challenge as we kick things off? So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Boom. Oh my gosh. It's a question that means business, isn't it? It's not a bad place to start, though, as we look ahead to this new year, to 2018, to what it might hold. Are you serious? Am I serious? Are we in this for real, for good, for the long haul, for whatever comes, for better or worse? Because if we are serious, let's act like it. Let's give our whole selves to it. But it's not about working harder to make God love us more. Definitely not. Gosh, if I had a pound for every time somebody saw me as the vicar and said something like, oh, I'm not a very good Christian, I could retire in luxury. So when Paul presses us here to get serious, to act like we mean it, this isn't just a biblical version of one of those self-help articles. If we just follow these 23 steps, we'll get a flat stomach or flawless skin or shiny hair or the perfect spiritual life. That's not how it works. We don't just need to pull our socks up and look like we mean it, and then we'll miraculously find that everything gets easier. We don't need to work harder at being a good Christian. That isn't the real world. And it also isn't the faith of the scriptures. But at the same time, we do need to commit ourselves wholeheartedly to this. Our pursuit of God, our walk with him, our journey of faith, isn't something that can be just slotted in around the other areas of our life. Let's sort out work and the house and our relationships and family and leisure, and then in the leftover time, we'll squeeze in a bit of God. That's not going to work, is it? When I was at school, you might have grown up in the same era as me. I've already told you how old I am. Madonna and Kylie are my reference points. But if you're a similar sort of age to me, you might have heard this illustration. It seemed to be the in-fashion illustration in school assemblies when I was a kid. And it involved this jar, and there was all this there was all you put all the stuff in of life, all the stuff I've just talked about, family and relationships and work and everything else, and you slotted all that stuff into your jar. And then all of a sudden, you had the God stone, the great big stone, and you couldn't get it in because the jar was already full. And then the punchline came. The punchline was, if you put the God stone in first, then everything else slotted in around it. And it was like the in illustration. I heard it a million times in school assemblies. It's probably a bit naff now and a bit out of date, but, you know, it kind of makes the point, doesn't it? So the first question for us, I've got a series of questions for us this evening as we look ahead to 2018. The first question for us at the start of 2018 is simply this. What order in our priorities is God and faith and church going to come this year? Pretty simple question, but a pretty important one. Will it be something that happens if there's still space left after the real stuff of life? Or will it be the foundation, the core, the very thing without which none of the other stuff can happen at all, or even make sense at all? What will our priorities be this year? What will be the things to which we choose to give our time and our energy? Maybe you've got some goals and plans for the year. Nothing wrong with that. Things you'd like to start, things you'd like to finish, things you'd like to achieve. That's great, that's all good. But whose goals and plans are they? Who's setting the agenda? Whose perspective is shaping the journey? We read this in Colossians. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. So what might it look like this year for you, for me, to look up, to be alert, to see things from Jesus' perspective? In September, I moved from the church where I've been for a number of years to a new church. So I'm just over 3 months in, and it's all shiny and new and exciting. And I've got approximately 973 good ideas of things that I could do. And to be honest, it's probably a good job that I started when I did, because it meant that kind of Advent and Christmas happened fairly quickly and there were just some stuff that I just had to do. Otherwise, I might have tried to implement all 973 ideas within the first fortnight. As it is, I've had to step back and take a few deep breaths. But now here we are at the start of a new year and it's all, you know, ahead of me. And it's really tempting to just dive straight in. Because they're all good ideas, right? Of course they are. They'd all yield fruit. They'd all be fun, right? What's not to like? But the thing is that even I can see that all 973 of them can't be God ideas, or at least not God ideas for St. Bart's Roby in 2018. So what am I going to do? And if I'm honest, forgive me, because at this point I am totally just talking to myself. But what am I going to do with my 973 good ideas this year? Am I going to just crack on, give them my best shot, get knackered, hope for the best? Or am I going to hold back and pray and seek and wait and look around me to discern where God is at work? What is he doing that I can get on board with? What's his perspective? Where's he already at work? Well, it's not rocket science, is it, to work out which is the better plan? But if I'm honest, it wouldn't be my natural inclination. And for you, the actual substance of it might be very different, but the basic question itself remains. Put simply, I might ask, who's steering the ship of your life at the moment? Who's in control of navigation? Who's setting the course, reading the map, guiding the way? The thing I love about how this particular section is translated in this message version is those five little words where it says, that's where the action is. I love that. I'm a total activist, total extrovert. Anyone who's met me for more than about 3 seconds knows that about me. I want to be where the action is. This is the way to discover that with God, it turns out. Let his perspective be the one that guides us. Why wouldn't I want a piece of that action? My 973 ideas, they might be okay. They might get us somewhere. You know, we might carry along with them for a while. But if they're not God ideas, then there's no point going there, is there? So the second question for us at the start of 2018 is this. How are we going to make sure the perspective from which we think and act this year is God's and not our own? How are we going to make sure that perspective is the one that he is giving us and not the one that we're just bringing along for the ride? Well, like I said earlier, there are lots of headlines and articles around at this time of year that even if you haven't made your own New Year's resolutions, you've probably read some kind of magazine article or seen some kind of thing on Facebook about, you know, all 10 ways to get a new you in 2018 kind of thing. And the Evening Standard had the results of a survey of the top 10 New Year's resolutions. Now, none of them will surprise you. They'll all be things that you've probably thought yourself numerous times. And that might be why you're saying you've not made any this year, because you're just like, seriously, keep making them, I'm not keeping them. But the top 10 resolutions were these: eat better, exercise more, spend less money, more self-care, read more books, learn a new skill, get a new job, make new friends, get a new hobby, focus more on appearance. Because that's interesting, wasn't it? Anyway, you probably could have guessed those. They've probably been the top New Year's resolutions for years. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with them in their own way. I mean, don't get me wrong, I seriously need to do number one and number four myself. But the point is that we can follow all the self-help books we like. We can make all the fancy New Year's resolutions that we like, all the decisions that this is going to be our year or whatever. But they're not real life, those things. Paul says this: your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Your new life, your real life, is with Christ in God. What an image, what a promise, what a truth. If I'm honest, that while it's amazing, it kind of freaks me out a little bit as well. The real you, the glorious you. I don't know how you think about yourselves, but if I'm thinking about the real me, the word glorious is not often a word that I associate with it. And so if I'm honest, I read that and I go, wow. The real me is apparently glorious. The real you is glorious. So if nothing else, 2018 might be a year when we need to try and accept that that's what God says about us. What will it look like to live in that real life? C.S. Lewis once wrote this. You might have heard this. It's a really famous quote of his. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because they cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Does that resonate with you? Is there something in you that's that little child that's making mud pies in a slum because you don't know that there's more on offer than that? Is this the year to open ourselves up all that God has on offer, to risk that trip to the sea, because it's so much more amazing than anything we can imagine. So much is on offer for us with God. And you know what, I really think, I've been thinking this more and more lately, kind of almost realizing more and more that there is just so much more available than we can get our heads around. And I've been aware of it. I was aware of it in my last church. I've been aware of it in going into my new church, kind of trying to almost like expand people's vision and horizon in a way, trying to somehow get people to experience, to understand, to imagine. Because it's true, isn't it? It's true that we're so enclosed in our vision. And I think we're enclosed in our vision for lots of different ways. We're enclosed in our vision because perhaps that's been our experience, you know, of church, maybe. Perhaps it's been our experience, you know, in our own life, you know, in our family. There might be all kinds of reasons for it, why we've just thought this is all I'm worth somehow, or this is all that's possible, because life somehow kind of taught us that. And it's as if God just wants to expand our minds massively to say, you just have no idea what I can do. You have no idea what it can look like when I get involved. You've got no idea what difference I can make to your life and the life of the people around you and the life of your church and the life of your community. You just can't imagine. You're seeing this tiny little bit, and it's so much bigger than that. So much is on offer with God. And I'm not talking prosperity gospel claptrap. Glad I said claptrap right then. That could have come out badly, couldn't it? I'm not talking about do this, say that, sign here, and it'll all be okay. Because you know as well as I do that life does not work that way. Many of us, maybe all of us, are walking wounded from the times that life has been very far from that way. I am not saying that 2018 will be a year of promotions and pay rises and perfect health and joyful relationships. Wouldn't it be great? It'd be great if I could stand here and say that. If you just do it this way, this will happen. That's rubbish, though, I'm afraid. That's not what I'm saying at all. Excuse me. But what I am saying, and what I think Paul is saying, and what I think God wants us to understand, is that there is just so much more. And it's not about us working harder to get that more, but it's somehow about us opening up our hearts and our minds and our imaginations to what it could look like. There is more power, more grace, more forgiveness, more comfort, more mercy, more strength, more joy, more adventure, more encounter than we have seen. There is more on offer. Our desires are too small, they're too weak. We can't imagine how much more we could see and experience. We're messing about with mud pies, and God wants to take us to the beach. So the third question for us at the start of 2018 is this: what is our real life, our glorious life? What could it look like for you and for me? What might God want us to experience with him this year? Well, so far in this passage, we've looked at the promises, the possibilities that are available to us in God, but we've got our part to play too, obviously. If we're going to step into this real life, well, it's going to matter how we live, isn't it? There are things that we'll need to do and things that we'll need not to do. Paul says, and that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are obsolete. This whole taking off and putting on clothes image is a really helpful one. I don't know whether you do that from time to time, whether you kind of got any new clothes at Christmas and kind of chucked out a few old ones. But, you know, it's something we probably all do from time to time, isn't it? Kind of go through our wardrobe and just think, right, what am I losing? What am I bringing in? It's kind of a helpful image. What do I need to get rid of? What's ugly? You know, what doesn't fit me anymore? What doesn't look right anymore? What am I going to put on? What new thing am I going to bring in its place? And the things that we need to leave behind in our lives, there's loads of things that might be. Some of them might be things that actually we left behind a long time ago, but we just need to almost remake that decision. We need to say, I have stepped away from that thing, but I'm going to reaffirm that. I'm not going to let that thing back in my life. Some of them might be things that we constantly battle with. Those things that just have a hold on us. And you'll probably know what that is for you. It might be something you just haven't ever told anybody else. Might be something you really hope that nobody else ever finds out about. That thing that you wrestle with that is just a tie, a hold on you. Something that you think you've cracked. You think I've got over that. Like I've stepped away from that sin or that pattern of life or whatever it is. And oh, it's got you again. Some of them will be things that you don't even know about yet, actually. But God's going to reveal to you something that you need to leave behind, something you need to step out of. And they might be just any one of a number of things. There's no point me kind of listing them all because you'll be sort of ticking them off. But there's so many things it might be that some of them are listed, you know, in that passage, but there's just so many things it might be. They might be old habits. Old ways of behaving, old ways of thinking, patterns, cycles that we just get caught up in. Those pesky sins, those habits that we just can't break. And we hate it about ourselves. We hate that we keep doing that thing. We hate that we keep behaving in that way. But we just can't stop it. Those might be really massive things that dominate our lives. That we struggle to believe that God could even forgive. There might be things to us that seem small and more trivial, but they've still got a hold on us. Sometimes it's almost worse with those little things because we dismiss them like the massive things we know they're a problem. But those little things that have a hold on us, sometimes we're like, oh, well, it's fine. Everybody does that. But sometimes God wants to say to us, no, that's not what I want for you. It's not how I want you to live. It's not how I want you to behave. That thing has got its claws into you, and I need you to get away from it. Paul names a few specifically in the passage, but then he paraphrases it like this. Doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. It's a pretty good way of kind of summarizing sin, actually, isn't it? Doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's how we live when we're letting selfishness and kind of our own desires rule, isn't it? Just do what I want. Doesn't matter the effect it has on anyone else. Doesn't matter the effect it has on my soul. Doesn't matter how far it is from what God wants from me. I feel like doing it. It's all right. And none of us sets out in the morning to live that way. But sometimes that's what we get pulled back into, isn't it? And sometimes it's at those times when we're at our lowest, you know, when we're tired, when we're worn out, when life's not going well in some area, and we just fall back into those patterns. Paul paraphrases again. He says, that's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. When we live that way, we're letting our life be shaped by the stuff instead of letting God shape our lives. And getting rid of those old clothes might be really hard, because the problem is that they fit us well. We've had them a long time. They're comfy. You know, in that period between Christmas and New Year, like, I wore the same hoodie for, you know, several days in a row. Like, I wouldn't have wanted anyone to see me in it, but it, you know, it was comfy. Like, I knew what I was doing in that hoodie. I was chilled out. I was on the sofa. Not a lot was going on. I'm going to come here tonight wearing it. Stand in front of all of you. And the problem is that we can fall back into those habits, those patterns of behaving in much the same way as we fall back into our sloppy clothes, because they're easier. We know they fit, but we wouldn't want to wear them out in public. Leaving things behind is not easy. It's got to be a conscious decision. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes a willingness to grit our teeth and to step back up every time we fail. But it is so worth it. So worth it to leave that stuff behind. Jesus is calling each one of us to become more like him. More like the person he created us to be. More like the person he knows we can be. You remember that real you, that glorious you? Jesus knows we can be like that. He's calling us to step into it. And that means allowing him to shape us and grow us and show us what needs to be left behind so that we can step forward into it. So the fourth question for us at the start of 2018 is, what do we need to kill off? What do we need to throw away? What do we need to leave behind? And what's our life going to be shaped by as we go forward? And if we're throwing away the old clothes that no longer fit, well, we're going to need some new clothes. We're going to need some clothes that are clean and beautiful and fit us perfectly. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. What a beautiful list of traits that is for us to focus on at the start of this new year. Unfortunately, those lists are kind of qualities. They're things that, you know, in our world today are seen as a bit naff, aren't they? A bit rubbish. Like, people are kind of mocked for being there. Well, kind and humble and nice. You know, it's just all seen as a bit naff. People are ridiculed, actually, sometimes for kind of showing those qualities, aren't they? But this is what God's calling us to aim for in our lives, to be people who could be described in this way. I do a lot of funerals as a vicar, you might imagine. And sometimes I'll say to people, how will people describe this person? You know, what will people say if they were talking about them? And I sometimes think as they say those words, whatever they are, I sometimes think, what would people say about me? Would people say, you know, she was kind, she was humble, she was patient. Patient, they wouldn't say that. She was gentle, she had compassion. Like, I'd love to think people might say those things about me. Compassion is about being alongside. The word passion actually means suffering. So compassion is suffering alongside, walking with someone through their suffering. Kindness is such an overlooked quality, so easily confused with being nice and dismissed as boring and weak. Samuel Johnson said that kindness is in our power, even when fondness is not. Kindness is a gift, we make a choice. Danielle Strickland defined humility as coming into agreement with God about who he says you are. And as someone who often struggles to believe what God says about me, I love this. Somewhere along the way, because I didn't always have good words spoken over me, I believed the lie that to think anything good about myself was to be big-headed, to be cocky. But But this reminds me that I am called to hear and to believe the truths that God says about me. St. Francis de Sales said my favourite ever thing about gentleness. It's paraphrased here as quiet strength. He said, nothing is as strong as gentleness. Nothing as gentle as real strength. Instead of patience, the passage talks about discipline. It reminds us again that we have a choice. Not good at patience. But apparently it's a discipline that I'm meant to exercise and grow in. I'm a call to bear with each other, to forgive, to keep our temper. My friend who I worked with in my last church coined a word. It's not a word. She said it to me like it was a word. I was like, that's not a word, but it should be a word. I am on a mission to make it a word. The word is this, offendability. Okay? We need to be low in offendability. Because so many people, and let's face it, so many Christians are offendable. Like really easy take offense. Don't let's be like that. It's not how we're meant to live. In fact, we're meant to live the complete opposite to that. And over all this, we're to wear love and peace, like the finishing touches to our beautiful outfit. I love that. Put on love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. It's the main thing you need each day to check for as you leave the house. Phone, keys, purse, love. Got it. I'm ready to go. Milton Jones, yes, that one, the comedian with the crazy hair and the shirts. He's a Christian and he's got some brilliantly wise things to say. And he says this, peace is knowing the reason not to be frightened by the facts all the time. Like, you have to think about that for a second, but it works if you do. So the fifth question for us at the start of 2018 is this, what do we need to put on? What's in the new wardrobe that God might want us to wear as we step into this new year? And then finally, here's how it all comes together. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. I love that image of letting God's word, God's message, have the run of the house. It's brilliant, isn't it? Basically, that's the thing to focus on. That's what carries the weight. That's what's the most important. And the thing is, not to be simplistic, but that's it. I really could have just read the passage and then said that and then finished. Because that's how all of it happens. All the things that I've said so far only happen when we do this. It's what makes everything possible. Because it's not possible, is it, humanly speaking? Not if you and I were in charge. I simply cannot live this way in my own strength. Maybe you can. You all look like pretty decent, holy kinds of people. Maybe you can do it on your own. But do you know, I can't get close to it on my own. I need Jesus if I'm going to get anywhere near trying to live this way. And then finally, we're told to let every detail be done in God's name. That's certainly going to make you stop and think, isn't it? Let every detail of my life be done in God's name. I'm only too aware of the many, many things that I do and think and say that I couldn't say they're done in God's name. He wouldn't want to put his name to them. We can't tell lies in his name. We can't be jealous in his name. We can't withhold forgiveness in his name. We can't bear a grudge in his name. If we're doing those things, we're not living everything in his name. So the sixth question, the final question for us at the start of this new year is, what might it look like for us to do everything in the name of the Master. If that's our choice, if that's how we're choosing to live this year, what might it look like? What might we need to stop? What might we need to start? If we're going to be able to say, my life is lived in God's name. So at the start of this new year, at the start of 2018, what might God want to say to you and to me? How might he want you to live? What might life look like for you this year? I think he wants to tell us. I think he wants to tell each one of us to speak to our hearts as to what that might be. We're going to ask him to do that. We're going to have a chance to pray and just to listen and to respond to whatever it is that God might want to say to you. There might be one of those questions in particular that I've offered that just might have kind of fixed its way into your mind. You might think, oh, yeah, it's that. That's the thing I need to put on. That's the thing I need to take off. That's the thing I need to do or focus on. So let's pray, shall we? If you're able to, would you stand? And I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to ask God that he would speak into our hearts, that he would show us what he wants for us in this new year.